a spirit of worship. Opening your heart, yielding. Just enter into His presence, get in His spirit. Come, sweet spirit, I pray. Come in the strength and the power, O Lord. Come in the Amen. God bless you. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 3 again. We'd like you to read God's Word. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. Paul asking us to consider the Lord Jesus and making a type of him with Moses. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who had built the house had more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ as a son over his own house. See, Moses was a servant over his house, but Christ was a son in his own house. Amen. Over his own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Let me read them a couple lines again. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation or trial, in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test, prove me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You see what he's dealing with? That's what he's dealing with. Holding fast your confidence, rejoicing of your hope from unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For who, when they had heard, did provoke? Did not all that came out of Egypt by Moses? But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. One more scripture we're going to read with that. It's Hebrews 10. Verse 32. But call to remembrance, think now, go back in your memory, the former days, in which after you were illuminated, when the evening light shined in your heart and you saw the message of the hour, you saw a prophet, the pillar of fire calling you out to Egypt, like they came out to Egypt, you endured a great fight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your own goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So it's nothing to grab. It's nothing to try to speed and jump into and hope something happens. After you have done the will of God, amen, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he thou shalt come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I think we all should read this last verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May God have blessed you, and you may have a seat. See, I want to put you inside of there, and with your own mouth that you confess, you are not of them that draw back. Amen. But you're going to do the will of God, and you're going to receive the promise, knowing that He is faithful who promised. And, you know, yesterday we started reading the scripture, and it was quite necessary, I believe, in us establishing that it's not going to be, you know, some kind of popcorn theory or something. And that's why it was necessary yesterday for me to speak to you, that we will not get the anxiety that is in people whenever a minister in a church, you know, preaches the word, and the people realize that there's a need and God wants to meet that need. There's a kind of excitement goes with it. Then, you know, they meet them a lot of tinsel and everybody kind of run in the air. But we're approaching these things as adults. We're approaching these things knowing God's ways after all these years of serving the Lord, and what we can draw from our experience and, you know, in serving Him, our walk with Him, our understanding of His word, our examples in the scriptures, the way He have dealt with people in the past. We are not going to be carried away into running in and just maybe think something's going to happen. And I spoke yesterday in the way I spoke as to settle your hearts that you will come and approach God knowing it will be a process. It will depend upon your faith and your sincerity as you recognize the need in your own life for what you're coming for, and not being drawn under the influence of somebody, but rather being convinced that as your word came to you and show you what you are, where you are at present, what God requires, what is needed in your own life, that what God promised could really begin to operate and take real, genuine effect to bring you into true identification with the Holy Spirit, then you'd be able to come and really open up your heart before Him. Do something that would really help us and really be beneficial to us. And then we in turn, if it's just a matter of instruction, if it's just a matter of us catching it clearly. And I said, the people have been over-preached, and what have happened, we need to find out now, have they understood? Have they died out? Did they obey? Are they convinced? Have they tried to cover the sin? Have they made the wrong right? Are they trying to resist the will of God? These are the things we need to find out from the people now, in order to see how we can really take our people deeper. One of the things that cause this is the kind of problems that come up among our people. And these kind of problems indicate that there is a great lack among the people. Because when these kind of problems come up, it means the revelation is not working for people. They cannot seem to have the faith. They cannot seem to have the control over the situation. They cannot seem to maintain the atmosphere in the home. They cannot seem to spread it out further in themselves to influence the children or the unbelieving family. So then what they possess is no good for them. It's like some money there. You don't even get interest in it. There's something that you can bury in the ground and you don't even get nothing out of it. Because if God has put something in your heart and revealed to you and you get a hold of something, it's going to influence you to begin with. It's going to influence those you come in contact with. It's going to influence those who connected to you. It's going to be people to pass on to others and they will be able to pass it on to others. That's the way it's supposed to be. If I give you, let's say, a handful of corn and peas, and then you have that and it says, look, there's a farming coming in Trinidad. We're going to have about 1 year to be able to plant these things. And then, you know, they only have a farm for 7 years. Like it was in the Bible of Joseph. Then what are you going to do? You're going to plant yours and pass out some to others. And then when you plant, you keep some to eat and you keep on passing out the others. And so that keeps doing what? Multiplying and replenishing, multiplying and replenishing. Until with that, you could feed the entire nation. And then you can start to export and send overseas. You know what I'm saying? Well, then when a person receives the seed of the word of God also, then you mean to say when you eat that it's done and nobody else don't get? And then your own family starve and what you draw from the word is only good for you and then you don't have none for tomorrow, it's finished? No, the word of God is not like that. The kingdom of God is not like that. That's why Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who is planting seed. It's like a man who reaps 100-fold, 20-fold, different things. And then he began to explain the things in the lives of people that choke the seed. He said pleasure in some people's lives. Now they may still have some pleasure, but they don't see the pleasure hinders God. To them, it don't hinder them. But what about, what are you going to hinder God? What even God would have control in your life, you see? And things like that, and it takes observing closer yourself. And we were speaking a little yesterday too about why people don't receive the Holy Spirit many times and things that block the channel when they come before God to really receive it. And, you know, you always hear Brother Abraham says, instruct the people how to receive the Holy Ghost. Instruct them. And, you know, then after a while, he came and he had to preach the messages. What it is. What it's given for. How you know you get it. The results it bring. What is that? That is instruct you on what it is. Instruct you how to receive it. Instruct you when you come, the thing that could hinder you in not getting it. Then the thing that confuses people when they look at something in their life, you know, but it don't bring the results that it's supposed to bring. Yet they make certain claims. And these things are necessary to be understood and broken down that a person will have it clear before them because what frustrates them many times is that they see the try. They make an attempt. They were genuine in their heart as far as they were concerned as an examination of themselves and being genuine. They say, well, when I went there, what I knew of missing, I said, Lord, forgive me, and now I want to receive it. And I'm like, I can't receive it. So I prayed for a little bit, then I came back and prayed next day, I prayed 3 days, like it didn't work, so I gave up and I left it. Then when the prophet saw that kind of attitude in people, he preached a trial and says, Mr. Impatience, get up and walk away and say, God promises not true. He said, Mr. Skeptic, watch somebody who look like a believer, backslide and say, that thing is real. See? So then, Mr. Unbelief, well, he can't be, he don't want to believe to begin with. He don't even want to change around his situation. And then he begins to show why people don't receive it. And then I'm going to call some witnesses, he says, and he said, let me call Abraham. Look, he wasn't impatient. He could have been patient. He said, this could be skeptical. What was he doing? He was trying to let us see in our lives when Mr. Impatience come up inside of the air. When Mr. Skeptic come up inside of you. You is Mr. Skeptic. You is Mr. Impatient. You is Mr. Unbelief. That old nature, that is him right there. The new nature is the one who believe. But half the time we're looking back at ourselves and see the unbeliever down there. We don't see the word of ourselves. So we just get general out here and we miss it. Then when we get impatient, we are not Mr. Impatience. It's like God too slow. You see? So the blame is on God. It's not God too slow, it's we are impatient. And that's why Jesus told his disciples, he told them, he said, be anxious for nothing. And the scripture I took there with James on Sunday, the farmer have to be impatient. Oh, he is all zealous, he get 12 yoke of oxen. He said, because 3 yoke of oxen will take me too long a time to plow up this field. So we get 12 yoke of oxen, I get 4 men, I plow up the field fast. Sure, I plow up the field fast. pull out all the old sticks, break up the fallow ground, everything else. Then he says, I need about 4 or 5 ministers, a 5-fold ministry, so I get all the sowers, sow up the field quick. Not dies as much as he could do with his speed. But when it comes to reproducing the life in the corner, he can't do nothing no more. You gotta stop there now. The law of that life is gonna take its own course now. So that's us. Oh, we wanna make a big preparation, run this. But we're doing the part where we can be speedy about, where we have a little control over. But then when a duration of time for the reproduction. See? And when you tamper with the life, you bring a hybrid product, or when you bring a hybrid product, you cross your life and it can reproduce itself. And it brings forth a deformed crop. So you're not going to tamper with you think you're trying to manufacture something out of season. That's why Sarah went and bring an Ishmael, and God reject that. So all the effort was in vain. It come to naught. God refused it in the end. You see? And these are things believers have to learn and understand, knowing that these promises hinges on certain things. That God promised. God secured his promise. God died to make it available. God predestinated you to receive it. God give you the heart to believe it. God sent his Holy Spirit to bring it to pass in your life. So then you ain't do nothing yet. So then what are you anxious about? If God said, okay, even to predestinate you, I wouldn't do it before the foundation of the world. I would leave that for when you come and you're born and you're growing up. Then what do you do? You just pray God predestinate me fast? No. And in fact, you do all those things before the foundation of the world and give it design you the heart to believe it, because if you have any sense at all, is that he wants to give it to you. It's yours. And if he does it and then turn around and you think he's being slow about something, then it means say you're not relating to him with the purpose why he's being slow. Because if he predestinates you to it and then takes his time to do something, he has a purpose for what he's doing too. If he's making a mistake there, then maybe he made a mistake and predestinate you to it. But the whole thing is, as we begin to examine ourselves, we realize that the channel, the attitude, is so important in coming to receive something from God, because people's attitude, you know, is where they don't receive many times. And that's why the Bible says Jesus taught the Beatitudes. He called it the Beatitudes because he was teaching them about attitudes. What attitude you're supposed to have in order to be blessed of God. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. You should know what the blessing is according to the attitude. You see? And you find that what will be happening is that, you know, it is the self-will. It is the human spirit that was anxious. Because we, in our subconscious mind, we want what God has to offer, because we are convinced to a great extent that there is a God. So we want what you have to offer without giving up our own way. So that's why we're anxious, because we're going to carry it our own way while we have what God has to offer in our possession. And the reason he slows up, because he's waiting for that self-will to doubt and break down, so that when you get what he possesses, it have none of you are wrong. Because he's not giving you something to go and compete now with what you have inside of you. He's telling you, lay down what you have and receive this. See? And that is why many times he lets things go. So what you try to hold on to, you run into so much situation, it will cause you so much problems until you begin to lose confidence and want to let go. You say, Lord, take this thing from me. Take this thing from me. Who could deliver me from the body of this dead? I hate myself. Because you let it get into so much trouble to your own self that finally the very thing that you're glorying, the very thing you try to hold, the very thing you resist God will for to keep, is what turns around to condemn you and makes life miserable for you. You see? And when you see that, then it brings what? A different attitude towards God. You watch a child, father tell him to do something, and you argue, and you resist and do, you don't want to have your own way, go outside, get in trouble, different things, I need daddy help now. He ain't going to come back and say, daddy, I need so. You're trying to bluff that. They come back and head down, he carries him like the prodigal son. He says, I'm going back, but I'm willing to be a son. Can't even raise up his head and look at the father. He says, because see, what happened? It changed the attitude. And that is the attitude you should have come with first. Not wait until you go into all that, then they come in that way. After you realize what you try to hold on to, become a failure. And that's where people many times can come in to receive from the Lord it makes it difficult. So when they go to pray, they don't really, their heart is not in low condition, and their mind recites a lot of words. God is not interested whether you put your verbs and your grammar right. God is not interested in whether you know all the promises, just to quote it, just how it is in the Bible, exactly like that. God is not interested in all that. If you don't have words, He's going to give you words. But He wants you to come in a certain heart and a certain attitude. You see? Because He don't want you to talk about every little thing. Search a list, have a little mental list there. And then you call along everything on the list, and then you feel good because you call everything on the list. No. He wants to deal with those things in your life that He show you that is causing problems right there. You're going to change your way of thinking about that. You see, as long as you stay in that attitude, as long as you stay seeing that way, you're going to cause you these problems. And the thing about the Lord, He don't get involved, He would not get involved in your business. He's going to stay right there until, like He told the prophet, he says, you go, leave your gift on the altar, you go make that thing right with that man, you go repent for that, and then you come back here and pray for the child, and then I'll be right here waiting for you until you come back, and we're going to see about the child being delivered. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, because He wants to help us. No, that don't mean, like how He had to chastise a person there, that don't mean that he take away your promise from you and change predestination, He change all this about you. That don't mean that. But that's where, again, where people, they don't understand correctly. From the first little thing happened, you know, they think it's strange. And he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is the trial. It's like a man battle. I'm not a Christian. I wonder why I'm going through this. Maybe I am a seed of God. Maybe so and so and so. It's just man battles to get in. That is to prolong these strongholds. Don't think it's strange. See? Because he is persuaded. He is determined. And from the time their heart begins to get into the humility, see that the kernel of everything, and the prophet says, the kernel of the message, humility. And he says, humble yourself to what? The word. And when Jesus says, except a cornered for go and die, he abides alone. And what was he doing? Pointing them to the cross. That they had to die. At Calvary, die to their thoughts, die to their ideas, that they could really see Him. They want to see Him, but how could you see Him? We hear of Him, but we want to see Him. Death. He said, Abel died on his altar together with the sacrifice. He said, when Abel was killing sacrifice, Cain killed Abel, and he fell on his altar, and he died together with the sacrifice on his altar. He said, and so, when Jesus is dying on the cross, you are to die right there too with Him, but as your sacrifice, in order to be born again. You see? Because remember, the way you approach things and the way you pass in trying to get something from God is always important. But Jesus said, I am the way. The way to me right with the man is death. See? But I am the way. I am the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. Now, me say, no matter what you want to get from God, you better come to Him. And when you're approaching God, you're approaching God on the basis of what He has done for you. Now, make that we think is already, you know, you come back. After a while, you get to know somebody so good, so yeah, now you go through all them formalities more. See, so you're in the back door, you're in the side door, you climb through the window, there, man, you go in the fridge, you just got somebody that's good friends. God business don't mean that. Because anytime you do that, you make it a sacrilege. It's not sacred no more. You destroy what you have done. You try to come in on your own self, on your own merit. And you can only get it coming through His blood. You can only get forgiveness. You can only get those things, your transgressions pardoned by coming through His blood. You can only come knowing that He had to take your place there. And once you come there, you must realize it's not your greatness, it's not how great a person you are, it's not how well known you are. You might be well known in the community. You might be well thought of, highly thought of in the church. That don't mean that before God. Because you're highly thought of in the church, God don't respect that. When you come into God, you say, God, everybody know me, I'm the, you know, the most popular person in church. You come in because Jesus died. A sacrifice, a perfect lamb that you needed without spot, without blemish, in order to achieve anything. And those things must always be there, because remember, when he looks at our heart to see how we are coming, what is our attitude, how we are believing, if we are asking nothing right. And now we hear the prophet many times praying for a person, he said, Lord, maybe I'm not even asking this right. When like he's not even certain that maybe the approach, maybe the depth of humility, maybe you know he's presenting the person case he want God to attend to. If he's presenting that the right way, he say, Lord, maybe I'm not even asking this thing right. But you know, you see, and there when you look at those things, it shows you that if we don't have the right attitude, like Naaman is asked to do something, asked to come a certain way. And Naaman had a way he wanted to come to get the same thing. And Naaman felt, why I would have to go through that? Why couldn't a man do so and so? He wasn't saying, I'm a proud man. He wasn't saying, I don't want to be belittled. He wasn't saying, I care very much how people see me and what they're going to say of a man of my status. He wasn't saying that. But that is where the problem really was. And that is why he wanted God to change his way. And not the way spoken by the prophet. It was too hard for him. And that was hindering him right there from receiving deliverance. A thought, a concept. An attitude towards the word that was coming to him. And these are things, when we look at it, when we examine it, is where the purging is to come. It's where sanctification is. Sanctify yourselves. Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Be wholly sanctified, body, spirit, and soul. Let me be presented blameless unto the day of the Lord, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians. You see? So when you look and you see these things, then you realize that's why the Bible says, if your heart don't condemn you, then you could have confidence before God. Confidence goes with the heart, and the heart, it depends upon what condition it is before the prayer becomes effective before God. Because you can't bluff it. If that heart only condemn you, you cannot have it. God is saying, don't even try to have it. But you know what is happening to us? We just try to prove that scripture wrong and say, the word say I can't have it, but look, I'm having it. But you feel as if you look God in the answer. Because what you're trying to do, you're trying to prove God was wrong. So even though you may feel a certain way, your confidence there, it will depend upon the condition of heart. And that's why here, we look in the scripture and say, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Now the reason I start with this scripture here is for a purpose. Because that journey from Egypt to Canaan land is the same journey of the church today. That exodus is a type of this exodus. That is the journey of every individual life, coming through water, coming through the wilderness, dying unto yourself, coming to the Holy Ghost, being placed positionally. That's it right there. That is the redemption right there. And they started off being identified with the lamb, the slain lamb. You see? So, here it is now. When we took that day, studying in these messages that we start with on restoration, forces of restoration, we came across something, and I just want to read part of it here for you. It says, here speaking, most of the people took up Protestantism because, as I have stated, they hated the Roman system of political and financial bondage. Just like the church was coming out from Catholicism, God has taken them out of Catholicism to do what? Bring them back to the depth of God, like it was at Pentecost. And until that church come back there, and we stand here with the fullness like it was there, and sin can't stand among the church, God is still working to bring that to pass. And still, when Israel was in the wilderness going on for 40 years, God had already said, I will bring them into a land full of milk and honey. And even though he killed off those people and so they didn't go in, he had to keep a remnant who he's going to take in to fulfill his word. And even though we see people dying off and can't enter in while we're still on our journey, maybe wandering around too, yet we know there are going to be people who have to get in there because God said it. And that is the same way we took that in this age, the same way we came out of the Pentecostal age and the church had to come through them four stages in this very age. Yet we know when the hour here, the church must be perfected. And that is why the response is here. That's why we have the hunger. That's why we come in to seek this. And that's why we believe, because it's timely let us really get in there and make that extra push. Let's channel all our resources right in there. Amen? And he said, and then it says here, he's speaking about them, and he says, instead of it being a great spiritual move with all the earmarks of the Holy Spirit influence, as when God used purely spiritual means to accomplish his ends at Pentecost, it was a work wherein the wrath of man, praise God. Man was chopping down this one, being hard against this one, being indifferent, but yet they find a Bible. They find a scripture to justify it. Like when Peter, James, and John say, call on fire like Elijah, call on fire and burn them up. The wrath of man was trying to praise God. And what did the prophet say? What did Jesus turn around and tell him? He says, you don't know what kind of spirit you have. He tell him, really and truly, the situation parallel that situation, no. He said, you know what kind of spirit you have. You see? And that's why the prophet in this day could have said, like, you know, with Elisha, with she bears, he said, that was an angered prophet. He said, I wouldn't say that was the spirit of God. That was an angered prophet. No, you see how close. And the attitude and the nature of the Holy Spirit is watching. That even a curse is put on people there. Yet the nature of God himself, like that he is, in his essence, his being, is different to that. Because here the very God stand up there in Jesus, the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Telling them when they're trying to say, call on fire from the scripture, which is God to, the word is God to. He said, no, you know what kind of spirit you have. Because the spirit in them was misapplying that word to justify their own anger. You see? Your attitude is wrong. So sometimes you may think you're scripturally right in your mind, but your attitude is wrong. Your motive is wrong for that. So faith can't operate. God can't honor it. You see? So he says, and the results paralleled the history of Israel when she left Egypt and wandered in the desert, not making it to Canaan land. That's where I stop at the scripture here. It says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. And I said yesterday, I said, that's where the trouble is. People are accepting incomplete work. God didn't promise to stop there. God didn't say, okay, we have arrived and that's where we are. No. He wants to bring you right back until your body is changed and you stand back within 8 to 20 years in perfection like you was before the fall. And if a person just get contented, rich and increasing goods and have need of nothing because they get a little wealthy or they get a little comfortable or they have enough friends now to socialize and keep a religious profession and they think they're all right, they go into heaven when the trumpet song, then he said, let us fear. You come out short. And that's why he took them. He said, they come out in Egypt. They come out on that prophet message. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the two signs of the prophet. They saw Jannes and Jambres, the impersonators. They got baptized in the Red Sea. He said, they come through. They was under the slain lamb. He said, but no, they never went in. Never received no inheritance. Were never placed positionally. Never come to full redemption. He says, so let us. So then he says, he said, watch, brethren. They provoke God. In other words, everything God was doing from the time he sent the prophet was to get them into the promise. And everything that God is doing to us from the time he called us by this message is to bring us to adoption perfection. Everything. And that's why I say, you let your husbands get you out of it. You let your wives get you out of it. You let your job get you out of it. You let different things get you out of it. And your hunger and your thirst. Why are you hungry and thirsting for? He said, and God will provide it. I'm the bread of life who have come down from heaven. If I might have me never hunger. He said, the true bread is he who come down. In Revelation 10, he has come down from heaven. The Lord himself descended from heaven, has come down in this day. He's here. Then why do you hunger and why do you thirst? See? So then, he said, you know, it's a parallel. You see, when they come out of Catholicism, like we come out of denominationalism, and come out of the world, like they come out of Egypt, they never make it into the promise. And that is a perfect parallel of what is happening here again today. And then, when you saw that, you say Israel, Satan had known the plan of God, that God is going to be king one day. He's going to come in the person of Jesus Christ and be the king, set up his kingdom on the earth. And Satan, knowing the plan of God, jump ahead and get the people to start to ask for a king and be like the world knowing the promise of God before it was time for it to happen, and they went out the will of God and they rejected the Holy Spirit. See? They wanted to be like the world when God had called them not to be like the world. And you see people coming out on the revival and choose. God dealt with them, conviction, tears, confessions, worshiping God, zeal, enthusiasm, freshly baptized, testifying everywhere. And then something began to go wrong after a while. Then they began to look back where they come from. Then they didn't care whether their dress was long down by the ankle and they all laugh when they come out. They didn't care whether their hair was straight, no, it didn't straighten. They didn't care whether they combed in a certain way. They got tired and looked decent to come to service. After a while, they didn't care what the world think about them. So they have to get a little more fashionable. But they don't know that that is a sign of the abandonment to the Holy Spirit. They don't realize that the sign of where it is coming back upon them to take them back into bondage. And they are losing the effect of what they start out with. They don't realize that that is a sign there. We'll pick up them things. I don't want to spend no time in our Thursday and Sunday services to show you the cycle of revival and death. Always. So what happened to them? But what it is that Joshua and Caleb, who was in bondage, reaching that land. You can imagine that? In bondage, with whiplashes on their back, knowing the promise, having the promise in spoken word form only. In word form only, not real. They can't eat a grape in Egypt. They can't put a foot and say, this belongs to me and make one promise work. They had no land to stand on. The land way off there in the distance. And those same men, when he and Caleb stand up in that very land and watch them bunch of people pick up, they say, Caleb, look how far we have come from the whiplashes. When he wasn't even baptized yet in the Red Sea. When we didn't even know who the deliverer was yet. Then can't we stand here today and say, look where we was before we know the prophet? Before we see the deliverer, before we see the pillar of fire, before we can get baptized, look where we're standing today. Look how true God's word is. They stood there. And when they stood there, they looked, they say, they shall be as bread. We're more able to take this land. It showed something had taken place in the journey. And it showed they caught something that the rest didn't catch. Because while they stand there, you know people don't die off in the wilderness already? You know when they get serpent bite? You know how much was getting ready to go on for 40 years and never see the land no more? And they were standing there with a confirmed a promise by God, they will enter in. You mean we can? A believer in the spiritual journey, in the walk with God, come to a place in their life, in their heart, that's where it is. Isn't that a blind thing? It's not like we know we can't be sure. That day is past. That's why the message came. The message that we might know, we might be posted, we might know what to expect, we might know how to be taught, we might know what we believe, we might know how to strive lawfully, how to get a hold of it. That's why the message came, because God is giving it to us. And Paul, in examining them, he saw the problem was right there in their hearts. There was no holding the beginning of the confidence, steadfast unto the end. And he saw the things that, since they didn't hold that confidence, then they didn't know the ways of God, how he was working out what he promised. And because they allowed them. Are people with a promise? Are people who had seen a prophet? Are people who had believed this year? Are people who had started on the journey? Are people who get baptized? People who have been sanctified, coming through? People who come right up to the land and saw the evidence of it? It is really a good land. Yet, something inside of there. He says, their heart was hardened. And he said, brethren, you don't cast away confidence. He said, you hold that thing. And we found out that is what was the problem, because when they came out, they forgot the original objective why they was called out. So they lose the vision of the real purpose. That is your confidence. Your confidence is the vision, the revelation that God give you when he call you. The Bible says you are called according to God's purpose. That's why I became a Christian. God revealed to you this message is going to have a rapture. It's taking the bride. This world is going to be judged. That's what God show you when he call you out. That's what make you leave the world and identify with the message. That made you do it. Wasn't it? Sure. Then today now he's trying to get you ready. He's trying to take this thing out here and say, this is going to ground your power off. That you won't be able to be changed. This is holding you back from your family going with you, who I promised you to. This year is stopping you from giving you a testimony to this generation so you can condemn the generation, because you are the light of the world. And when you're trying to do those things, which is the purpose now why he's really called, you're trying to fulfill it, then you have so much other things in your life that is hindering that from being fulfilled. And you begin to lose the vision of your objective. So they was in the middle of the journey, and I showed you yesterday, in Egypt, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And when Pharaoh's heart was hardened, what happened? When the word came to the mouth of the prophet Moses, the revelation of God, coming to the prophet, and he was speaking to Pharaoh, Pharaoh was determined and was resisting the revealed word coming through that prophet's mouth. And then, after God destroyed Pharaoh, then the children of Israel, their heart, Paul says, get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. No, it wasn't Pharaoh's heart being hardened now. The children of Israel, who believed the prophet in the journey, their heart being hardened now. See? And then what happened? Then they begin to resist the will, coming through the mouth of the prophet too. Exactly. And once they begin to resist the same word, because it was just a continuation of the same word that called them out of Egypt. That word is going to keep coming unto them until they get in the promise. Because that entrance being ministered abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. The same message I tell you to be baptized and come out of the world, kind of sin, is the same message going to change you and present you faultless? Is the same message sanctifying you? Is the same message releasing the Holy Ghost while Peter speak these words? Is the same message doing everything? So then when they were rejecting that message coming out that justified them, they believed the justification part and they came out. And they went through the Red Sea and they shouted. They were baptized under that message. And that same message that come around there now, it sanctified them. You know, many want to go back to Egypt, who Moses think he is, this and that, are too hard, we can't get no flesh, we can't get this. And God has passed them that way really to prepare them, take these things out of them, to prepare them for where it's going. But they were determined to live within themselves and have the religion of the prophet and the pillar of fire and the tabernacle in the wilderness and all these things and just keep on going, but determined to live within themselves. When they wanted this, when they wanted that, when they wanted this, when they couldn't get that, they make a fuss. And that was self-will. And those things come up in our lives over and over and over. And that is why, you know, when those things come up and you see it, you just let go. See? But the more you see the things that is needed in you, then by the grace of God, God would be able to really help you. I read one quote, a couple quotes here. Then we have a time of prayer. And don't be bothered. I'm not going to be formal in this thing. I'm trying to be spiritual as best I could. And because it's not, as I said, I don't know how and what we're going to do. We know what we have need of. We know we're supposed to come. We are coming and God is going to deal with us. And don't get no preconceived nothing. I know there'll time we'll have general prayer. There'll time when we'll pray with people individually. You know, if a person has certain needs and we preach a little part of the word maybe to build your faith in the things that you come for. Because I say, maybe we preach 95% of teaching the ministries like that, and we spend 5% maybe just praying for the people like a prayer request. We don't really work in that anointing of praying for the sick. But you see, that's why when Brother Brown had a healing ministry, he prayed for the people 95% and preached 5%. He said that the brother to the preacher, I just come and give them a testimony, exhort them about this promise, and then I pray for the sick. It's got a different anointing altogether. It's a different anointing of the Spirit. And, you know, now we can have in these meetings here is basically for the needs that hinder the lives of the people, their homes, the relationship, getting a better understanding of the world. And You know, this is what we want to really do, that we could, when they come here, you know, if there is certain things that to build your faith by the word, and then, you know, we could pray with you individually for those things, like maybe have a little prayer line or something, and then there are times where we could pray together for our individual personal prayer in your own life, your confessions, your attitudes, different things that the Spirit reveal to you, show you that you have before God there, that you can see a greater move of the Holy Spirit as you really empty out, you know, all these things in your life. So I just want to read a little quote here on where's your Holy Ghost. He says here, page 3, said, "No, I've asked the tabernacle. No, we're not entering into this just to be a protractive meeting. When he's preaching these messages, this series, and I told you, as we keep going on, we have part of the tape being played, and we're going to study part and see exactly what it is, because for it to be a real move of the Holy Spirit, the people must know and be taught and be established, because you say you want to preach salvation, you got to get the anointing, the scripture from salvation to get people saved. You want to preach, get people healed, you got to get the anointing from the scripture and preach healing, create an atmosphere for healing, and let it get healed. You want to get the Holy Ghost, you got to teach on the Holy Spirit, and let it get, create an atmosphere for that by the scripture, and let it get entered into that and can receive the Holy Spirit." So that's what we'll be doing in services like these. And the other services generally will be teaching the word and ministering generally to the public and different ones that come in. So here we're just trying to really focus in, and by the grace of God, we're making the tapes too, so that, you know, those who not there, then we can play back a tape in service, or they can have the tape to their own availability in the library to listen to. So he says he was having this time of consecration when he saw the people needed to be instructed in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he had seen much things in the healing ministry, and he had come back off the field to have these things. He said, "I want to enter into this, and I want you, and I've asked you to burn every bridge that's behind you and make every sin right, that we are coming into this with all that's in our hearts and our lives. We must come here for the sole purpose of getting our souls ready for the coming of the Lord, and for no other purpose. We are here to make ready for the coming of the Lord. And to this little tabernacle, seeing I believe that it is one of the finest places that I believe that's on earth, goes to this tabernacle." I never said all the finest people. I said some of the finest people on earth go to this tabernacle. "But as day by day, entering back from meeting to meeting, I see a great need of this tabernacle, a great need in it. And that's for a filling or a consecration, a deeper life, a closer walk with God." And that's exactly where we're placing all this inspiration we're trying to do. Oh, some of the greatest people, I always say that, and yet you hear me say at the same time, we're not going to go on one further, and we pay a greater price, until we get these things empty out, because I see that we still are short of where we are supposed to be restored back to. But I am convinced the time is here, that's why we're doing this. So he says, "And I promised them to do this, and to have these messages for them, and we are glad to bring you in and fellowship with us along the word of God, as we teach and try to bring out. And now, I would not ask anyone to do anything that I would not do myself. And this week has been a complete calvary for me. I've been so close to blacking out, as I would place it, till I was almost beside myself, but I have completely surrendered every will and everything that I know of to the Lord." Here's a prophet with his tabernacle. And God used him and his people right there to open up the way to show us to come into everything we need to come into. And that is exactly what we're doing. Just trying to follow in the footprints that have been left us through the revelation of the word to come into that place we prepared in this hour. And he says, "The other night, a little after midnight, the wife and I, setting up and praying and talking to the Lord across the little footstool in our front room, with two open Bibles, we consecrated ourselves anew to God for a complete service, that we would surrender our own wills and our and everything and every negative thought and serve the Lord Jesus." And he was a wave chief, he was an example. And in his consecration, in approaching the Lord, looking for a closer walk, a deeper life, God even used him to tell us how to approach even those things. To see the Spirit move in the home, to see the harmony. Because remember, the husband and the wife at that time, they passed in the church. And I say, you have a church home by you too? And then, you know, you ought to see the church by you. The Spirit is moving the church home by you. You want to see congregation submissive to the pastor in the church home by you. Hope some of you, all you sister congregations here, is submissive to the pastor home by you. Exactly right. And I hope all those pastors' home is a real wave shift to the congregation home by them. See? And here we see what it takes by the grace of God. Amen. So he says, I trust that's been your attitude too, and you have done the same thing. He says, I trust that's been your attitude too, and you have done the same thing. That when we are coming tonight, we are coming upon holy ground among a people who've been praying and fasting and making restitutions and getting ready to receive something from God. And I know that he will come, he that will come hungry will not go away hungry, but God will feed with the bread of life. Amen? So I'm going to stop right there. I don't want to be tempted to use up the time just because I feel to speak, but I know we're going to be here, I will be doing this, I'll take portion by portion, talk with you, and whatever instruction we given by the word and whatever inquiry you have in your heart to find out certain things, we're going to be able to open up the meeting more and more as we progress. Everything can be done in the first service and second service. We lay the foundation here and creating the atmosphere and getting the minds in channel and knowing this kind of sincerity is required and what is needed and how we ought to come by the grace of God, that God can help us. When the place is packed like this, it's hard to kneel down and pray with one another there. I don't know how we're going to try and do it. Maybe someone could come at the altar, someone could come at the side. I don't know how they're going to stand from the outside and pray in front of their son. It's blazing hot in front there. So you see the kind of situation we're in by the grace of God. So, but in whatever way, if you want to walk, stand up and pray. Stand up at the side and pray. You want to sit down right there. If you have a seat there and pray and keep your heart. But the thing is, we want to have the attitude of the Holy Spirit. We want to have something that could draw God's presence, not so much our own selves. There are saints here that have many, many great needs, you know, and in the homes, Sister Sia Jones in the back here, you know, she's having a real hard time, a lot of domestic problems in the home, and she's glad for a time like this she can come out in the day because husband get violent sometimes, and, you know, so you never know what people will be going through. And you know, we talk on the phone back and forth. She always there reading the word and, you know, always have a testimony to share in the midst of all the troubles and different things. And that's one of the areas you want to remember especially. Sister Ayers was telling me of their area. They can't get her come out of service. And, you know, up there they have to alternate the service. She come one day, the husband come one day, and it's very difficult for them. And, you know, they're up in Tableland. It's kind of difficult. And get the bar tires sometimes, and you know, it's hard for them, and she don't know how they're going to really come out when they do come in service. She said they can't even follow the inspiration sometimes, they can't relate to what's going on because they're missing so much services in between, and then they're up in the conditions like that, and you know, you have so much different type of needs, see? Then we have quite a lot of backslidden brothers. We're trying to get brothers to go visit them, different ones as much as we could, and try to see them, get them back, invite them back out to the services, really talk with them, and or realize that a great extent of our own selves have been at fault and not really being close to our own people. We know we have been handicapped by not having no facility. We tried one or two things to be able to meet together informally, to get close to one another. We have services at a regular time, but people live so far from one another and have to take some different type of transportation to get where they're going. It makes it even more difficult that our service finished. They have to try to get the different transportation to get home. They can't see the fellowship. If somebody going to visit somebody that's close to them, you know, it has to be time off from work, and then it's a hassle by itself too. So it's so much different things. But the thing is that it came to me, I was telling some of the brothers, maybe God have our environment in a certain way that our testimony will have to be achieved in the kind of environment that we're in for the glory of God. We can't make our environment an excuse. We are designed and built up to be able to hold our testimony true regardless of what the circumstances are. And that's where we want to really make that greater effort by the grace of God. Many of the young brothers, glad to see more Carson, Larry here. Many of them, they really want to serve God and try to get a hold of the word. Many of the brothers, Brother Chow and they, Brother Zeph, and they take the brothers down. The young saints try to work with them, Brother Ram and them, and help them and, you know, keep them in fellowship. But, you know, they can do so much, and then they know in their heart too, it's not just getting together for fun times, but there must be a time for the word, and unless the word will really get on our hearts, and We need to really pray for one another in a real way. We need to really pray. A lot of us have need a prayer. And then if you have need to be ministered to personally, I'm going to be here, right here this morning. So while we go to pray, some may have a personal need that they feel that they need to agree with someone to pray, as the scripture says, two shall agree. Then I don't mind to put my faith with them and agree with them upon God's promise and pray for them individually while we pray. No, I don't want forms. You see, sometimes you try to avoid forms because you want your people to have faith and reach out to, but yet you don't want them to bluff themselves. You want them to be honest in their heart. If their faith is not sufficient to really give them the victory, then you need to stand there, because like the shepherd, you need to stand there with them to really reach out to get a hold of these things. And so let us really in our heart just open and be yielded to the Holy Spirit for this little time that we have before we close the service at 1, it's about 20 past 12. So we have a little time to just spend in prayer. It's not how long we spend, it's how our hearts are well in tune and the depth of sincerity and faith that we can approach God with by the grace of God. Amen. So at this time, let's all stand. We're going to sing a chorus and go into prayer. I want to live the way He wants me to live. More as is revealed to me in His word. I want to give when it seems that there is no more to give. All that He asks, all that I am, all that I have, I'm bringing, yielding, surrendering, that His perfect will can be done. And many of you here that have a hold of that faith in your heart. And God right now, you see, God will have the whole church in that state. You'll have many here who have the same feeling that I'm expressing here. And you could really reach out and in your prayer and help pray with your sister, pray with your brother, then really reach out and pray with them or pray for them while you kneel there in your seat. And your prayer, God, on their behalf, could be really effective. Amen. I want to live the way He wants me to live. I want to give until there's just no more to live. I want to love till there's just no more love. I could never, ever love my. One more time as we go down to pray, and I'll be here if anyone would like, when I can't personally, could come, and then you might pray for the others. I want to live the way He wants me. If you can, if you have to sit with your children, sit with your children. If you have to kneel, kneel. If you want to stand up, stand. You want to come at the altar. Where is the room? Let us give God this time. You have about 40 minutes. Just give it to Him. Fully surrendered. Just no more to live. I want to love Him. You know, we're not going to grieve Him and harden our hearts and provoke Him, but we would be able to so just find that attitude and that sweetness and softness when we come before Him. Lord, you know, we don't want to come short of Your promise. There's a laboring to enter into rest. When I pick up the next couple of verses, you're going to see that. He said, you labor to enter into rest. The rest is there. The rest was the promise of the Holy Spirit, Canaan land. But there was a laboring to enter into what God had promised. And we don't want to stop short of it. We want to labor. We want God to put the Spirit to labor. In prayer is the hardest part of our Christian lives, where you really get to go down there, wrestle it out, empty out, search out the life, all them obstacles, all the old trash, dig it out. As Elisha said one time, dig the valley full of ditches. Amen. That make room for the blessing, that the Holy Spirit come as much as we empty out and get the attitude right and see. Maybe in the past we might have take things for granted, expect God to do things, maybe leave things undone in our own lives, in our own home. But in sincerity, we want to just place those things before Him and place it in His blood. Amen. Let Him just blood it out. We sing this little song before we go. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. May God richly bless you. Give you all that you have need of. Take you safely back to your homes. Amen. Let us say our prayer dismissal so we can sing and then leave. Our gracious God, we thank you, Father. Lord, we feel your spirit moving in our hearts already. Lord God, we just asking that you just get us, Lord, into that depth of sincerity, Lord, as we open our hearts, as we meditate on you, as we take inventory of our lives, as we take your word, the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and apply it, Lord, and with diligence, Lord, and with sincerity, and change our attitude where, Lord, we realize we are at fault, dear God, and willing to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset you, Lord. And Father, coming before you in a broken heart and a contrite spirit, humbling ourselves under your mighty hand, praying, Lord, making confessions with restitutions, Lord. Lord God, just emptying ourselves before you. Oh God, for we are fully persuaded, we are convinced, Lord. Lord, that the hour is here, and Lord, we need a closer walk. We need a deeper experience. We desire so much, Lord, a brand new touch from you. God, and we know that you're going to give us what we desire, for something our heart tells us. We are asking according to your will, and we are in your will. And Lord, God's making that extra effort is pleasing in your sight, so we can expect what we desire because we believe it. Dear God, we pray that the Holy Spirit come to lead us in our records in all that we do, from the greatest to the least. And may you just keep your spirit close to us and keep us in this atmosphere, sensitive to you, Father. And may you come to make a way for your children to come and get right in the couple of hours that we'd spend, Lord. We could just get into the Spirit, dear God, and draw from the Holy Ghost into our souls. Let it be, Father. May you grant it, we pray. As the song rises, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, O God, let it be. Granted, Father, draw us closer. Draw us nearer to that precious bleeding side. We pray, consecrate us now for your service, Lord. Lord, may that sweet Holy Spirit just come right into our hearts, abide within our souls, strengthen us in the inner man, we pray. Lord, as we leave this place to go back to our respective places, may the sweet presence as you have the Holy Spirit just go each and every one of us. For we ask it in Jesus' name and thank you for this little love feast, this little time we can just come aside to be with thee, Father. Lord, under seem as it were under the shady evergreen trees, we could sit and commune with you and you could speak to us. Grant it, Lord. Bless each and every one as we go. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I am dying, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. You may have your seat as we sing. Some of you don't have to go. Some of you could stay back maybe a half an hour if you want. It's up to you. You know your time, but the service is dismissed. We want to keep that commitment to you. At 1 o'clock, we are finished. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. Oh, but I long to rise, long to rise in the arms of faith. And be closer drawn to thee. Everyone singing, draw me nearer. Just meditate on the word you've heard. Remember the instructions of the Holy Spirit. As you go on your way, think about it. Keep that communion in your heart with Him while you travel along the way. While you do your work at home. While you sit with your children. Just keep His presence close to you. You're going to find that consecration coming in more and more. Nearer, blessed Lord. To that precious bleeding side. Oh, where we can be cleansed from all sin. Every hard spirit can break it up. Make us mellow and sweet. Consecrate me now. Thy service, Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Oh Lord, let my soul look up. Soul, look up for where his blessings come. Look up to his throne. And my will, oh, be lost in thine. Until I have no more will of my own, just his will. Draw me nearer, oh, nearer than what we have been. Through the cross, where thou hast died. Draw me nearer. To that precious, precious, precious bleed inside. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour. We have had two today. Half a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Oh, when I kneel in prayer. And with thee, my God, I commune as friend. Oh, friend that believe one another and trust one another. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. There are depths of love that I cannot know. Deeper depths and higher heights. Till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy. Oh, we don't have to look to worldly pleasures. There's heights of joy right in Christ. To meet every desire we have. Till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer.